amazing what you can do with one chord and a bit of improvisation. John Handy and Hard Work. What's that? Pharaoh. And what's we start the hour with? The Steve Miller Band and Swing Town for David's. The full English breakfast show. Well, of course, meteorological spring has already started, but by the more traditional definition, the first day of the season arrives tomorrow, and it takes its name from the March equinox. Like the two solstices, the equinoxes were used by early civilizations, a way of dividing up the year, but they can fall at slightly different points in the modern calendar. This year, the spring equinox, also known as the vernal equinox, falls on Saturday the 20th of March. It is comfortably the most common day for the phenomenon, although it can occur on any dates between the 19th and the 21st of the month. The date is considered the first day of spring under the astronomical calculation of the seasons, which is based on the two equinoxes and solstices. The astronomical spring lasts until the summer solstice, which in 2021 will be on Monday the 21st of June. Are you listening, Peter in Maganyosk? Spring's first day comes earlier with the meteorological definition, which is much simpler, splitting the year into four seasons of three full months based on the Gregorian calendar, making it easier to compare seasonal and monthly statistics. Equinoxes get their name from the Latin for equal night and mark the only 2 points in the year when the equator is the closest part of the sun to the earth, with both the northern and southern hemispheres sharing sunlight equally. And of course, it's a busy time for gardeners.
That is. You know, you were talking about drones yesterday going into the sky and
seeding the clouds.
Changing the clouds. Yeah. Did you hear in the north of France apparently yesterday? They're dangerous drones. It collided with a pigeon, and it was filming a market square in the north of France, and it collided with a pigeon and fell on a mother and child. And thankfully, they weren't.
What, the pigeon
too...
or the drone?
No, the drone.
Oh, okay.
They felt it.
And they
weren't
extremely
too badly
dangerous
injured.
In the wrong hands. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, can you imagine?
I don't feel particularly sorry for the pigeon. There's several billion of them around to make up the shortfall. Well, I was saying a busy time in the garden with the days getting longer and things starting to grow. And gardening fans will be delighted to know that Gardener's World with Monty Don returns to BBC Two tonight at 9 o'clock. It's the ultimate...
The Antiques Roadshow and Songs of Praise,
no, not Songs of Praise. I don't think I'll ever stoop to that. But it's a real good antidote for stress, you know, especially in the difficult times we're living in. Monty will just, like, soothe and relax you. I have to watch it tomorrow morning.
Soothe and relax you?
Yeah.
He deserves a medal if he can do that.
He definitely does. He really is a top guy. Monty Don, Gardener's World. Lots of helpful hints. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
Oh, how long have you got?
Well, tell us.
I don't really know, really. I think I wanted to be a teacher.
Did
I used
you?
To play school or a postmistress.
Oh.
But I think I'd have been a good police officer.
A postmistress.
Yeah, I used to play post officers
all the
time.
Sounds a bit kinky.
Or a police officer.
A police officer. I always wanted to be a fireman.
Oh.
Yeah, until I got my head stuck through the railings at a fire display and had to be cut out by the fire brigade.
You were the one. Everybody knows somebody that's done that.
I did. My mother was so embarrassed. Apart from that, I always wanted to be... Good morning, Stuart. Lumberjack!
Of course.
You should come round and look at my compost bin.
No, thank you. I've got better things to do. I'm living on the Riviera.
All sorts of wonderful, creepy crawlies in there.
Dream.
Oh, yeah. Like,
why would I want to do that?
Crisp, great big fat white worms like nematodes.
No,
they're really good
you.
And they eat all the rubbish up.
Great.
And then,
really pleased for you.
Pop quiz.
Yes.
Or questions about compost.
No, it's about jobs.
Jobs.
The theme. All of the following famous rock stars had jobs before becoming famous. All you have to do is tell me the name of the star.
Captain Sensible used to clean the loos at the Fairfield Halls in Croydon.
I haven't got him on my list. In the 1960s, when he was 13, he took a job as a butcher's delivery boy to help pay for saxophone lessons with legendary sax player Ronnie Ross. They were reunited 11 years later when Ronnie played the solo saxophone part on Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side.
David Bowie.
Yes. Which was pretty... You only got that because I said Lou Reed.
No, I was going to say David Bowie anyway.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just thinking about rock stars who played the saxophone.
OK. Speaking of his previous job, he said, I was the best-dressed roadie in the history of music. I used to wear white jeans and never got them dirty. I was too quick for the dirt.
Alan Roberts.
No, he said he reckons he'd be a roadie now if he hadn't become a rock star. And he added, I would have been out there now in an ill-fitting black T-shirt with a tattoo and scruffy Converse trainers because that's what they all wear.
Well, I don't know. I've got a clue.
He was a roadie. OK, you don't know. It was Noel Gallagher, roadie for Inspiral Carpets. This British singer, songwriter, worked briefly for the Inland Revenue. During his time, he wrote many letters to the NME, with one particular letter ending in, "P.S. I work for the Inland Revenue. Am I still allowed to be a punk?"
I know this, but I just can't think of it. No, go on.
Morrissey.
Morrissey.
And finally...
Well, he wasn't really a punk, was he?
And finally...
It's four questions.
Well, no, this is just... this singer-songwriter served a brief stint as a gravedigger at the Highgate Cemetery in London, although according to his autobiography, his main job was to mark out plots rather than actually dig the graves himself. He also worked in a funeral parlour in North Finchley.
Dave Vanian from The Damned.
No. It was Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
There you go.
So my brain is failing me because I'd heard some of those before but just couldn't remember. Never mind. One out of four.
Do you know Kanye West, that I mentioned earlier, has made all this money with a fashion thing with Gap. He was a Gap sales assistant before. Do you think that has something to do with it?
Who is this Kanye West you keep talking about?
Oh, come off it. Oh, no. Come on. Did a duet with Paul McCartney. You must know that one.
Oh, I know. He used to be married to Kim Kardashian, didn't he?
You're now taking the mic.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Where were you yesterday?
Well, I was on a client call, so I unfortunately couldn't join you, but I'm with you today, so let's enjoy it.
That.
Let's embrace the moment, given it's Friday, which is the week.
That's two in a row you scored on that. A lot of people are speculating your absence might be something to do with the fact that the French government was flogging off dodgy Bitcoin yesterday. Do you know anything about that?
I have no idea about that, it has to be said. I didn't know that was even taking place, so nothing to do with me.
Yes, I plead insanity, Your Honour. Right, well, you go away for a day and the wheels come off the markets. Come on, put them back together.
Is equity markets under pressure yesterday? Nervousness around tech valuations returning as bond yields remained at more than one-year highs and crude declined. 10-year Treasury yield climbed to 1.75% for the first time in 2020. 30-year breach 2.5% for the first time since August 2019. So after the Federal Reserve appeared content to allow the economy to run from an inflation perspective, perhaps we'll come on to that. Higher yields are supporting financials, should I say. Banking stocks have been outperforming while the energy sector slumped along with crude prices yesterday. Crude down yesterday. Brent trading at $60 a barrel after reaching I think it started the week around $67 a barrel actually. This is after US crude stockpiles rose above the half a billion mark. National Energy Agency said supplies are plentiful. In Europe, it wasn't a bad form. Stock was up 0.6%. Over on Wall Street as well, damage was done. S&P 500 was down 1.5% at the close. NASDAQ was off 3%. Significant movement there. No surprise that sets up for a weaker start on the European bourses this morning, where we're currently calling FTSE down 50 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 94 points. That's also off 50 points.
Fred, the line's playing up this morning. It's a question of filling in the gaps. You keep disappearing, but we'll persevere.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Stop wiggling around. It's worth having a look at oil prices. They're down 7% yesterday and 8% for the week so far. So good news for motorists, at least.
Well, good news for motorists. Good news around inflation expectations. It takes some of those elevated forecasts down a little bit, it has to be said. Key component, of course, commodities, given their high weighting in consumer indices when it comes to price. Markets will be watching that with perhaps a little bit of relief, it has to be. Not good news for the energy sector, of course, not good news for countries who are reliant on those revenues from oil prices and want to elevated rates. Saudi Arabia, to remind you, maintained cut surprised markets by not bringing some of that supply on. So prices have been elevated, supply remains a little bit constricted, and there is some debate exactly how much demand will come back as the economies reopen.
Yeah, okay, we are breaking up a lot this morning and we're getting most of your words. I think we'll just persevere for a couple of minutes, but leave it at that. But the Bank of England also had a lot of things to say yesterday, but didn't mention Brexit much. Why?
No need, it's in the past, we've moved on. Bank of England kept rates at record lows, 1%, maintained the size of its asset purchase programme at £895 billion, but did offer a more upbeat outlook for the UK economy. Said activity in January fell less than expected, signs of consumer demand is re-emerging, strong sales of sports and leisure goods, outdoor furniture, so they're not seeing sustained rise in inflation. The positives for the UK economy, of course, is the successful rollout of the vaccination programme, the chance of delivering a supportive budget, and household spending will helping to propel growth to around 4.9% during the course of this year. What does it mean for the Bank of England's policy? Well, I think the vast array of uncertainty means the MPC will remain on hold but vigilant. They'll continue to assess the shape of the recovery over the course of months before coming to a decision. Negative rates remain a remote option, although speculation around them being implemented almost evaporated.
Right, well, I've let you off the hook this morning because there isn't enough time before all the gaps come. So foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.39 this morning. Euro coming in at 1.19. €1.16 for your British pound.
It's probably the ease for the line going down, I would think. You know, everything else is, isn't it? So
I would imagine so. It's the regulators.
OK, thank you. Hopefully the line will be better on Monday. Have a nice weekend. Bye.
Have a nice weekend.
Yeah, sorry about the line. Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
21 million people in France will be hit by another lockdown from midnight tonight in the fight against COVID. 16 departments are concerned, including the Alpes-Maritimes. France's Prime Minister Jean Castex claims that the health situation in France has deteriorated, especially in the regions concerned, with the third wave being mainly due to the rise in the circulation of variants. The lockdown for the Île-de-France, Hauts-de-France, Alpes-Maritimes, Air and the Seine-Maritime is in place for at least 4 weeks and is similar to that of last March and November. However, the government considers it to be more flexible, with no limit on the time spent outdoors between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. Other regions of France are being closely monitored, with possible restrictions being announced in the coming days. The national curfew from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. will change from tomorrow, Saturday the 20th of March, to 7 p.m. From 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. In the Alpes-Maritimes, what does this mean? It means that from tomorrow you can circulate freely from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. on the condition that you filled in the form, the attestation, and ticked one of the reasons for being outdoors: a professional, medical reason, assisting someone in need, school, childcare, physical activity, going for a walk, or walking your pet. Physical activity or going for a walk, for example, is limited to a radius of 10 kilometres from your home, and travel between regions as well as international is prohibited unless you have a compelling reason as stipulated on the attestation. All non-essential shops will be closed, such as clothes stores, shoe shops, hairdressers and toy shops. Food stores will remain open, but shelves selling products from other outlets which have been forced to close will be blocked off to shoppers. Bookshops and record stores are this time around considered essential and will remain open. Schools will remain open and all high schools will be obliged to respect a rotation of students, as is the case in some high schools already, with a one day on, a one day off. Universities remain unchanged. And working from home is necessary when possible. Employees are asked to work from home for at least 4 out of the 5 working days. France's finance minister Bruno Le Maire has said that measures to support the economic sectors affected by the lockdown of 16 departments will cost an additional €1.2 billion per month, adding that the impact of the new health restrictions on the French economy is 0.2% of the annual GDP. Following a re-examination by the European Medicines Watchdog, the controversial AstraZeneca treatment, suspended in many countries because of an apparent link to irregular blood clotting, has been cleared as safe to use. Reporting that the number of cases of adverse side effects was inferior to the number of blood clot complications in the general population, the EMA said all EU member states now have the necessary information to make their individual decisions. The agency says its findings are clear and scientific. The vaccine is safe. France will resume using the AstraZeneca vaccination from today, with the Prime Minister setting the example by being vaccinated this afternoon. The objective from the French government on the vaccination campaign in France is to have at least 10 million people vaccinated by mid-April, 20 million by mid-May, and finally 30 million by mid-June. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister Jean Castex, who was due to come to Nice today, has cancelled his visit due to the health situation in the region. Castex was expected in Nice to sign the implementation of the recovery plan for the Nice Côte d'Azur metropolis. He was also to visit the Nicaea vaccination centre before participating in a roundtable with local elected officials. In agreement with the Mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, and in view of the health crisis, they decided to postpone the Prime Minister's trip. Meanwhile, following the announcement of a return to lockdown by the Prime Minister, Strozzi has called on the government to cancel the four-week lockdown if the incidence rate of the virus in the department drops below 400 positive cases per 100,000 inhabitants. Jean Castex has reportedly taken note of this request. According to figures published on Thursday evening, the health situation continues to deteriorate, with in the last 24 hours 34,998 new confirmed cases of COVID and 268 additional deaths in hospital. In addition, the number of patients in intensive care continues to increase to 4,246. The pandemic has killed at least 2.6 million worldwide since the start of the pandemic. That's according to an AFP report on Thursday evening. The United States is the country with the most deaths, followed by Brazil, Mexico, India and the United Kingdom. Here in Monaco, it's been announced that the extension of current coronavirus measures will stay in place until the 2nd of April. The measure had been due to expire today at midnight. The curfew between 7 p.m. and 6 a.m. will therefore remain in force for two additional weeks. The same applies to the rules relating to consumption in catering establishments at lunchtime. Access is reserved for residents, employees and schools of the principality. Reservations are required. The number of guests is limited to six people per table and service can only take place between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. The compulsory use of teleworking in private and public sectors remains in force. On Thursday, Monaco identified eight new cases of COVID, bringing the total number of residents affected to 2,149. 47 people are currently in hospital and 73 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Following the green light from the Autorité de Santé, COVID-19 self-testing kits will be available from this weekend in France on the shelves of certain large distribution brands such as Carrefour. The group announced that it had ordered 1 million to meet demand. In other news, the Alpes-Maritimes Prefecture has reminded job seekers that an online recruitment fair is taking place until the 26th of March. Vacancies are listed not only for the Alpes-Maritimes and the Var, but also for many other areas of France. For more details, go to the Riviera Radio website. A new electric shuttle bus service has been launched in Nice. The bus will run every 15 minutes along a 3.8-kilometre route from Boulevard Victor Hugo and de Bouchage to the seaside and takes in Boulevard Gambetta, the Old Town and Place Masséna. Journeys are free of charge and the shuttle will operate Monday to Saturday from 9.30am to 5.30pm and on Sundays from 11am to 5pm. It's planned to extend operating hours after the curfew is lifted if there's a sufficient demand. Finally, a dolphin has been rescued in Toulon. The dolphin had found its way into the docks of the naval base and had become disorientated. Divers from the Maritime Gendarmerie escorted it safely out into the open sea.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Did it have to show its attestation de regrettoire?
It's the only bit of good news.
We'd been all wet, wouldn't it? Football, a mixed night for the British clubs in the Europa League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester United are through to the quarterfinals of the Europa League after a 1-0 win against Milan at the San Siro. Paul Pogba came off the bench at half-time to score the only goal of the game as United secured a 2-1 aggregate win. Arsenal are also through to Friday's draw despite a 1-0 defeat against Olympiakos at the Emirates. The Gunners progressed 3-2 on aggregate. Their boss Mikel Arteta was happy to make it into the last eight of the competition.
Yes, we are really happy with that. It's another step forward as a team. So hopefully we can learn some lessons as well today and be ready because it will be even tougher. It's true that we have beaten two good teams, Benfica and Olympiakos, but the next one it will be even tougher, I think.
Tottenham are out, losing 3-0 after extra time against Dinamo in Zagreb to go out 3-2 on aggregate. England manager Gareth Southgate has named his Three Lions squad ahead of the opening fixtures of 2022 World Cup qualifying later this month. Manchester City centre-back John Stones has been recalled to the squad after his excellent season with the league leaders, and Southgate says it's well deserved.
There was a period where we couldn't select him. You know, he wasn't in the team at City. We didn't think that was possible. So he has to take enormous credit for getting back on track, fighting back when it looked as if he might be going out the door there and establishing himself in the team that are top of the league.
And Fulham take on Leeds United at Craven Cottage on Friday night in the first of the weekend's Premier League matches. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Yes, so in the English Premier League this weekend, a bit thin on the ground. Fulham play Leeds tonight.
It's going to be a win for Fulham.
That's very positive.
Well, they'll want to make amends from their 3-0 loss to Manchester City.
Well, surely Leeds will want to make amends for their defeat against... Oh, no, it was a 0-0 draw, wasn't it?
Yeah, 0-0.
Oh, forgot about that.
There you go.
Yeah, all right. Fulham desperate for points, aren't they? And I think they might just about avoid the drop. On Saturday, Brighton play Newcastle.
Oh, Brighton will smash it.
Really? That's not good news for Newcastle fans. No. I know we've got a few out there. Sunday, West Ham play Arsenal.
Good draw.
Going for West Ham there. And Aston Villa against Spurs.
Spurs.
Don't know. I think they might be a bit down in the dumps after their exit from Europe. And Villa at home and no pushovers. So I'm going to go for a Villa win. It's FA Cup quarter-final weekend in England. Bournemouth plays Southampton.
Bournemouth.
Really? That's very bold.
I know.
Any particular reason?
Because if I don't say that, then I'll get shouted at by a Bournemouth fan.
We went on holiday there once.
Yes, I did go to Bournemouth once. Yes, I did. Just the once.
I've been to Bournemouth a few times and Southampton as well. It's the South Coast derby, isn't it? Yeah, go on then. Bournemouth, all right. Cup set. Everton against Manchester City.
Man City.
Don't know. It's the cup. The magic of the cup.
What, you think that changes?
I think...
Goalposts? Boom.
I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to go Everton just for a shock win. Sunday, Chelsea against Sheffield United.
Got to be Chelsea.
Come on, you Blues. And Leicester against Manchester United.
I'll go for Man United.
Leicester.
Well, you'll have Jeff on the line in a minute.
Really?
He's a huge Man U fan.
Kept that a secret. Rugby Union, it's the final round of the Six Nations Championship. Well, not quite, as France still have their postponed game against Scotland to come. And Wales can, however, secure the Grand Slam to add to the Triple Crown if they can beat France in Paris tomorrow. Kick off at 9 p.m. tomorrow night. You going to go for Wales there?
Yes, I am.
Think they will?
Yeah,
they'll do
for
it.
Josh. Yeah.
It's going to be a good game, whoever wins. Scotland against Italy at 3:15 and Ireland host England in Dublin at 5:45. The France against Scotland game will be played on Friday the 26th of March. There's one game in the Gallagher Premiership tonight. Newcastle play Wasps, while in the Guinness Pro 14, Munster play Benetton, Leinster host Ospreys and Ulster play Zebre. Cricket, the T20 series between India and England will be decided in the final match. After India won the fourth game by 8 runs in Ahmedabad on Thursday, India batted first and made a challenging 185 for 8 from their 20 overs, with England only managing to reach 177 for 8 in reply. The final match is being played tomorrow. And in racing, Flooring Porter won the feature race of the Cheltenham Festival on Thursday with victory in the Paddy Power Stairs Hurdle, but the day belonged to Rachel Blackmore again. The trailblazing female jockey scooped a double with victory on board Alao in the Ryanair Chase and then followed it up by winning the Mayor's Knoffice Hurdle with Tell Me Something Girl. It's a song, isn't it? She's now on course to end the festival as top jockey and is too clear of her nearest riding rival. It's Gold Cup Day today, with the big race off at 4:05 French time. Rachel Blackmore partners A-plus Tard, but Album Photo is bidding to become the first horse to win the race 3 times since Arkell in the 1960s. Album Photo 5-2 favourites, A-plus Tard at 9-2, Champ is at 4-1, with Royal Pagaya at 7s. There's some money too for Santini and Minella, Indo at 10-1, with Frodon and Kenboy at 12s, and Native River at 14-1.
The weather forecast. Brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Seam in the VAR. The general situation is a depression 1,008 millibars between Corsica and Sardinia. Winds are east-northeasterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 3 to 5. Northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are easterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 4 to 6. Northeasterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Partially cloudy with a moderate to strong easterly winds. Top temperature 13 degrees today. Overnight lows 4 to 7 degrees with clear skies. The weekend mainly fine. Highs of 12 to 14 degrees. Finally,
the 50 most beautiful buildings in the world according to science and the golden ratio. And it's St Paul's Cathedral that takes the number one spot ahead of the White House in 17th place. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But science has another take on this. That's what's pleasing on the eye follows the golden ratio. And researchers say that according to this theory, St Paul's Cathedral in London is the most beautiful building in the world because it adheres most closely to this formula by an alignment of 72.28% to be exact. Using the golden ratio as a guide, the researchers drew up a top 50 beautiful buildings ranking in which Marina Bay Sands Resort in Singapore is second and followed in third by Westminster Abbey in London.
Isn't the Sagrada Familia in there?
It's not. No, the Eiffel Tower isn't either.
Not even the Taj Mahal?
Taj Mahal is, yes.
It's quite, the Eiffel Tower's not really a building, though, is it? It's more of a kind of monument, isn't it?
Oh, maybe. Well,
what about the Fairfield Halls in Croydon? Is that in there?
No. No, the White Horse in the Southend Green isn't either.
Sydney Opera House?
No.
Yeah, dear.